Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening to Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton. Smart speakers in the home are officially a thing. And before you roll your eyes, not all tech hardware is a guaranteed success. Now, if you think that, you can text me from your Amazon Fire phone. What I mean is the numbers are in, and that means the marketing will get sharper and more purposeful when companies plan and implement their brand strategies.
Okay, I'm going to do the thing you asked me to do, and you know I'm not going to talk to you forever, but I'm going to spend 5 extra seconds going, would you also like to, or did you know you could?
All right, some math on the radio. Over the past year, smart speaker ownership has increased by 20%, with 50% of consumers now reporting to own a smart speaker. 23% of consumers polled took advantage of Black Friday and Cyber Monday last year to purchase a smart speaker for themselves, and about 1 in 6 consumers, 16%, purchased one as a gift. My hand is up. Of consumers that bought one as a gift, not for themselves, 89% already owned a smart speaker. Coming up now is a consumer-to-tech interface expert, and we're talking smart speakers, so let's get to it.
Yeah, so it's Jason Snook. There's no H in it. and I'm a managing director with CapTech.
Yes, and we're going to talk today about voice and smart home devices, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm relying on your early analysis, and it says here that, and let's just start at the basic, 50% of consumers now report owning a smart speaker. Does that surprise you coming into 2019?
So we had a hypothesis. So we knew that, you know, in the last couple of years, the early adopters had really picked up this technology, and we knew that the major vendors like Amazon and Google and others wanted to make a big push. And so we kind of said, well, we think they'll use Black Friday and Cyber Monday to really push, in addition to just organic growth, to really push adoption. And that's what the numbers proved out. So we now have 50% of the respondents, and this was a national survey of U.S. consumers, 50% said that they owned one of these devices. So in addition to organic growth, we did see that about 1 in 4 respondents said that they purchased a smart speaker over Black Friday / Cyber Monday.
Right.
Another 1 in 6 bought one as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And what was kind of interesting about that is that the folks that bought one as a gift, 89% of them already owned one.
Yes.
Meaning that they, you know, they're having a good experience with this technology. They saw a good deal and they decided to buy one for their brother or whatever.
It seems like we are getting more comfortable with this type of technology. Remember, it's almost like with electric cars, you had range anxiety. That's kind of pulling back a little bit. Being surveilled in your own home seems to be getting pulled back a little bit too, right? So your analysis, it sparks the question, thinking of Amazon, it manipulates every opportunity it has to gain data on customers. What are the barriers you see for more adoption of smart speakers?
Yeah, and so what we did was, so a lot of the research that's out there just in the last couple of weeks is on smart speaker owners, but we're continuing to do research on the people that don't own them. And we asked them, they said, why don't you own these things? And a lot of it's privacy and security. There's some complexity that people are still trying to overcome. But it's interesting because we probed that a little bit more in this, a month or so ago when we did the survey, and we asked people, if you ask people, are you concerned about your privacy? They say, of course we are. It's like asking if babies or kittens are cute. So they say, yes, we're concerned. But we went a little further and we asked, would you be willing to give up privacy for convenience or for a free service or anything like that? And it's interesting. So the general population would trade privacy at about a quarter, so about 25% of the general population. That number increases to about a third of smart speaker owners. So smart speaker owners do seem to be willing to a little bit more to make that kind of value exchange for services and convenience.
It's almost like a Faustian bargain in a way, but
yep.
We are getting more and more used to it. Okay, great. You have a PhD in human-computer interaction from Virginia Tech. You are the leader of consumer experience. How is the consumer experience developing with smart speakers?
It's a great question. Yeah. So doing kind of this year-over-year research, we're able to kind of watch the evolution of these use cases. And so still to this day, I mean, the prevalent uses are what you think. It's playing music. It's asking questions, web searches, setting reminders, those kinds of things. But what's interesting is that it's really at about the two-year mark that people have grown in their maybe trust of the platform, the reliability. They just grow more sophisticated in how they're using it. And we see more home automation, shopping, and those kind of things. And that kind of largely matches what we saw with smartphones, which is, you know, in the early days, people were doing pretty simplistic things, making calls, flashlight apps, you know, using your phone as a level, things like that. But you think about now, you're probably doing some pretty complex and profound things on your phone now that you've kind of adapted to the platform. So we're seeing the same thing with voice now.
What other kind of questions are your clients asking? I mean, I understood, do we have to develop a strategy for both platforms? What about Apple, Sonos? I'm sure that, you know, all that gets thrown at you because you're the expert.
Yeah, it's kind of in two directions. I mean, one is, you know, should we be working on this and how would we deploy it? And we're telling people if you develop that base voice skill, you can promote it through a lot of your existing marketing channels. You know, you could see at really at the bottom of a print ad or at the end of a commercial, you know, ask Alexa to, you know, order you whatever. So
right.
Fairly simple in that way. But the other thing people are asking us about, because we are saying, hey, deploy this simple skill first. Obviously, people want to do more exotic things. They want to, you know, predictive and analytical and that kind of thing.
Right.
And AI factors into this a lot. But a lot of our clients, we're telling them, hey, the not so fun work, you got to get your data house in order. You know, so for a lot of companies that want to do the more exotic stuff and they want to deploy more things that are powered by artificial intelligence, they're spending last year and this year really getting their data to a place that it could fuel machine learning, which would allow, you know, for more of these sophisticated applications of AI over voice.
Can you convince your clients that this is a sunk cost worth making?
You know, it's funny, inherent within that, I think, you know, if you tell somebody, should you get your data house in order, inherently, they know, I know. the upside potential of not really even just voice, but artificial intelligence and machine learning and all the applications of that, there's so much promise and potential there that it is prompting more and more companies to look at their data and their services and make sure those are set up to accommodate that.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a good follow-up here because you mentioned a phrase that kind of caught me, which was base voice skill. If you're looking at it from the vendor side, does that mean like how to best create a non-intrusive commercial, for instance?
So what we're seeing, you know, banks are using this. You can check your balance. A lot of, you know, food vendors or, you know, Domino's or Starbucks, they're
right.
Saying, hey, you know, just tell your device, you know, hey, order me a Domino's pizza. And so those kind of just very base skills. And then again, you're just tagging that onto a lot of your existing marketing channels that you're employing today.
So I could say, hey, Google, order me a Domino's pizza, and then, okay, and then I place the order, pepperoni on half, and then it says, okay, order complete, should arrive within 30 minutes. If you'd like to continue, I mean, are they tagging things on to the end of a message?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of user testing around that now. Like, how do you acquaint yourself with a skill? And you're right that one of the, we're calling them kind of conversational heuristics we're using,
yeah,
is that idea of like, okay, I'm going to do the thing you asked me to do. And, you know, I'm not going to talk to you forever, but I'm going to spend 5 extra seconds going, would you also like to, or did you know you could? And so, again, some of that research is early, but we're definitely trying to figure out ways to, because there's no menu. You're not, per se. I mean, we are
right.
Seeing the mix of voice and screen technologies coming back. We really didn't think screens were gone forever. Whether it's price point or whatever, they were deploying voice-only technologies, but we really see the confluence of all of these mediums creating an even richer experience.
Hey, Alexa, play me some John Coltrane. That was Jason Snook. He has a PhD in human-computer interaction from Virginia Tech. He is a leader in the customer experience, or CX, practice area at Cap Tech. Mr. Snook has more than 17 years of UX/CX experience, helping companies design systems that are easier and more effective for customers and employees. For links to Mr. Snook, his company, and his research, please check the show notes at kgoradio.com or in the podcast links. Coming up after the break, the European Union's ambassador to the United States, and he speaks with us about how important international trade really is in a period of history where it feels like it's coming apart. That's next, so do please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.